Amen. Luke chapter 19, verse 35. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out."
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. We're going to bless the shofar. I want you to give the Lord praise this morning for his word.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. And if the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this thought simply: sometimes volume matters. Sometimes volume matters. Look at your neighbor and say, "Sometimes volume matters." Amen. Praise God. This is not unfamiliar. Amen. In the book of Luke, amen. We also see in the book of John, not unfamiliar at all. Amen. We preach here many times. Praise the Lord. But God has led us here this morning. This is the account of what is often called the triumphal entry of Jesus. This is when Jesus, amen, was getting ready to go into Jerusalem, amen. This is normally what is preached and taught or read on Palm Sunday, which is the Sunday prior to Resurrection Sunday, amen. But the Lord has led us here today on this Sunday. See, Jesus had told the disciples just before this that he knew what was waiting for him in Jerusalem, amen. The betrayal, praise God, the arrest, the scourging, the crucifixion, amen, the torture, all that was waiting on him in Jerusalem. He told them that he knew, yet he went into Jerusalem. I think that we kind of bypass that fact right there, that even though Jesus knew what was ahead of him, he knew what was in Jerusalem, and he told his disciples, "I know what's waiting on me." Amen. He went into Jerusalem anyway. Amen. This shows us the courage of the Savior today. Amen. I want you to know, amen, that there's a difference between being brave and having courage. Amen. I can be brave, praise God, but I can also not have courage. You see, courage, the difference in being brave and courage is that courage is a heart thing. Amen. Courage takes place because the heart is fixed. Courage takes place because there's something in the heart, amen, that establishes, praise God, that no matter what, amen, they're going into, no matter what they might be facing, praise God, that there is nothing, amen, that is going to navigate their way, amen, out of God's presence and his plan. So Jesus' courage, amen, I think is something that we need to notice here. Amen. John chapter 11, amen, and this tells us in the book of John that there was a price on Jesus' head. Amen. Chapter 11, we see that, amen, the men sent word and they were offering, amen, money for anyone that might bring Jesus to them. Amen. Anyone that might be able to bring this man that was causing all out of this trouble. But what's interesting about that, Jesus being a wanted man, and he knew that he was a wanted man, yet he entered into the city in such a public manner. Amen. He could have went in secretly. He could have went in quietly. He could have discreetly entered into, amen, even just blended in with the crowd, as maybe the crowd would enter into the city gates. But no, Jesus entered into the city in a very public manner, even though he knew that there was a price on his head and what was facing him, amen. You see, God had already made preparations for this entry because Jesus had told the disciples. Amen. He said, I want you to go, and you're going to go find a colt, the colt of a donkey. Amen. That is tied up, that has never been ridden on before. And I want you to bring it from me. What I think is interesting is that Jesus, amen, had been to Jerusalem plenty of times. It wasn't like this was his first trip into Jerusalem. Brother Shane, he had been there several times, but yet this journey was going to be different. This one was going to stand out of all the times that he entered into Jerusalem, that he went, amen, into the city. Praise God, because it was going to solidify his purpose. It was going to solidify what he had been teaching, amen, unto the people. Amen, the fact that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God, amen, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah that would come and would be slain, amen, that would be fulfilled in the scripture. He would be crucified, amen. He would be that Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Amen. This one was going to solidify the purpose. And so we see, amen, praise God, amen, that as Jesus, they went and they got that colt and they found that donkey, amen. And as Jesus was going to sit on that donkey, you see, a donkey was typically, we know, something that poor people used, amen. People who were, amen, rich would usually come in on a horse, amen. But royalty would often ride in on a donkey, amen. And so as we look, praise God, at what we're seeing and what we read, amen, in the scriptures. In verse 38, they said, saying, blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. What did Isaiah say? He shall be called. He shall be called Prince of Peace. And so now he's riding in on this donkey, amen, as a symbol of royalty, amen. To put plainer, he was the Prince of Peace. He wasn't riding in on a horse as a king, but he was riding in, amen, as the Prince of Peace. He was riding on a donkey that no one had ever sat upon before. What would this do? It was going to, amen, reinforce his seat of authority, that no one would ever sit in that place. Somebody help me in this place. Hallelujah. That when, amen, you are in this life and when you need peace, there's only one place to find peace, and that is Jesus. He was going to take his seat of authority. Amen. Now we know that the crowd was anticipating Jesus setting up his earthly kingdom. This is why, amen, they cried, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. So they were ready for the Roman, amen, tyranny to be over, to be out from under that Roman, amen, government. And they thought Jesus was coming to set up the earthly kingdom. Hallelujah. And that's why they threw their clothes on the donkey. This is why they begin to spread, amen, their clothes on the road. They begin to put their clothes on the road. And the Bible says that they begin to rejoice with a loud voice. Everybody say loud. Amen. With a loud voice, they begin, amen, to rejoice. Why? Because they were praising God for sending the King to Jerusalem. This is what they were waiting on. But you see, their actions were not out of the ordinary, because it was typical, amen, that when a victorious conquering king would enter a city, the crowd of people would gather and songs were sung of rejoicing. amen, over this victorious king. And they came with symbols of victory. This is why they were waving the palm branches. Hence Palm Sunday, because the palm branch was a symbol of victory. This is why in the book of Revelation, when John saw the multitude of people, he said they come with palm branches in their hand. Amen. Praise God. Worshiping the King of Kings. Hallelujah. So this was not anything out of the ordinary for a conquering, victorious king as he entered the city. Amen. But listen, they were proclaiming, this is where it gets interesting, because they were proclaiming Hosanna, Hosanna, amen, in Hebrew. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna means the Lord save us now. Hallelujah. So they were, amen, expecting an immediate, somebody help me, they were expecting an immediate transition. They were expecting an immediate shift. They thought for sure that Jesus was going to set up his kingdom. Amen. But there were Pharisees that were part of the crowd. Amen. Now here's what you got to understand. The Bible says that the crowd was filled with disciples. Now, we know that the 12 chosen disciples were there. But I think we forget that Jesus had plenty more disciples than, amen, the chosen 12, than Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all of those. He had more than 12 of those. There were plenty of disciples, amen, that were following Jesus and following his teaching. And the Bible tells us in some places, amen, that many of them would fall away, amen, at times as they were following him. So I want you to understand, amen, the gravity of what was happening here. Amen. It wasn't just the 12 disciples, amen, who were praising God, but there was the multitude of people and his disciples, all that were disciples, amen, were joining in and offering up praise. Amen. But the Pharisees said to him, Rabbi, reprimand your disciples. Rebuke them. Reprimand them for acting in such a way. It's interesting that they acknowledged him as a teacher. They called him Rabbi. They acknowledged that he was a teacher of the rabbinical studies. Amen. They acknowledged him as a teacher, but they denied his claim to be the Son of God. A lot of people are okay with accepting Jesus as a teacher or even a prophet, but they had issues accepting him as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. They denied him being that Messiah who was anticipated from the prophecies of old. That one that said, amen, was going to come, praise God, and bring, praise God, restoration and healing, amen, to the people of God. Hallelujah. This made Jesus an enemy. Are you hearing me? This made Jesus an enemy because he declared, amen, that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah. They were okay with him being a teacher, but they were not, amen, okay with him being Messiah. And so they were the enemy to Jesus. They were, amen, Jesus was their enemy, and they were an enemy to Jesus. And the crowd's praise made them uncomfortable. I'm not going to keep you long today. Why did the crowd's praise keep them uncomfortable? Because it made them know they were defeated. It made the enemies of Jesus, amen, when the crowd began to praise God and say, peace in heaven, glory in the highest, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. As they begin to declare this, it made them uncomfortable because they knew that they were defeated. They said in John, in the book of John, they said he was accomplishing nothing. And yet the world is following after him. They said the world is going crazy over this Jesus, and he is accomplishing nothing. You see, I want you to know something this morning. That praise makes the enemy uncomfortable because it reminds him of his defeat. I said praise makes the enemy uncomfortable because it reminds him that he is already defeated. Oh, somebody help me in this place. I'm going to need some praisers in the house. See, when God's people are truly worshiping him, the enemy knows something is about to shift. The enemy knows that something is about to change. When God's people are truly worshiping, amen, from their heart, amen, and their heart is fixed, and they are taking courage as Jesus did when he entered into Jerusalem, when even though they're walking through the fire, hallelujah, amen. Listen, I love the scripture, amen, that talks about walking through the fire, going through the flood, amen, going through persecution, because it doesn't say if you go through the fire or if you walk through the flood, but it says when you walk through the fire, when you pass through the waters. What's it say? I will be with you. So guess what? You're going to go there. You're destined to go through some fire. You're destined to walk through some flood waters. But he said, I will be with you. That's why we can take courage in our heart. And we can lift our head up. And we can raise our hands. And we can worship God. And we can give him praise. As we're walking through the fire, as we're going through, hallelujah, the difficult times, amen, because we know that the Lord is already with us. Listen to me, I'm not trying to be passive, but it doesn't matter to me if he's in the fire already, because he's with me as I'm going in the fire. Ah, somebody help me. I don't need to be in the fire anymore. Oh, somebody help me. Hallelujah. I know that takes away from our religious understanding, amen, but I don't need to be in the fire. I just want to know that he's with me when I go through the fire. And if I know that he's with me when I go through the fire, then I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. When I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to worry and I don't have to be anxious because he is with me. Do you understand that he is with you as a child of God? Why do we fear? Why do we crumble? Why do we shake? Why do we shudder? He is already with us. So we can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, if he does not deliver me out of the fire, I will still praise him and worship him. I will not bow. When I pass through the waters, we are cast down, but not forsaken. Well, come on, somebody. The Lord is with us. Whew. Do you understand how powerful that is? Because when Adam and Eve walked in the garden, I don't want to get off. But I think we forget the access they had to God. See, I'm a firm believer in that. See, the Bible teaches us that there's a first, second, third heaven.
Yep.
Right? We know that Paul said at one point he went up into the third heaven. So I believe Adam and Eve just willy-nilly hung out in the garden. And God had to come down to them to fellowship. I believe, come on now, they were spiritual beings who were created in the image of God, who had no sin, no trauma, no past, no nothing. And they could go in and out of the first, second, third heaven any time they needed to. So I believe that they had access to God, as we would know it, 24/7. Come on, are you hearing me? That nothing kept them from, that's my point, nothing kept them from God, and nothing kept God from being with them. Until sin separated them. Now their spiritual being took on humanity and had to deal with flesh. And at that moment, they were separated from God. Right then, they lost access to the first and second heaven. And God came down looking for them. Adam, where are you? That's what Silas says. And Silas lost his blanket, his knee, as he calls it, or his passy, his baba. He goes, Baba, are you? Nini, are you? One of these days it might just answer back. But God asking for Adam. Yeah. Now this separation. And so Jesus, God in the flesh, the Word robed in flesh, came down and became a man. And at that point, God had to separate them from Eden, the place that he had destined, that was going to change and make the difference. And he said, cherubim guarding that with fire, amen, to keep them, praise God, because they would mess up everything. Now they're separated from God. So Jesus had to come, and he took on flesh, and he became a man. And he lived, and he died sinless, spotless. And so he died. Not only did he die, but somewhere in the 3 days that he was in the grave, the Bible tells us in the book of Peter that somewhere Jesus went down into the heart of the earth, and he preached to those spirits that were being held in prison. Amen. Praise God, that have been held captive. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he said, your time is up. I now, amen, have taken. How could he do that? Because, amen, he resurrected. And because he was resurrected, now, are you hearing me? Amen, that eternal, amen, state of Adam and Eve has now been restored. Amen, with the resurrection power. So now every man made flesh, born into sin, he that believes that he is the resurrection and the life shall live again. But until then, the Holy Ghost came down, and now we have access into the presence of God. So to say, for Jesus and God to say that I will be with you is a big statement, because man should not have access to the Creator. But because he loved us so much, died and rose again, we now have that resurrection power inside of us. This same power that raised Jesus from the dead shall make our mortal bodies alive. And some way, somehow, in his infinite wisdom, on that resurrection, we shall have a new body that will be eternal, that will be back to the state that God originally designed humanity to be. And we shall live forevermore. And we will dwell in that place where there's no more dying, no more sickness, and we will get to be with him forever.
Amen.
So I said all of that to say we don't realize how extreme I will be with you really is to have access to him. So I've learned and I got convicted here in this season that I'm in, because we tend to say, Lord, we're asking you to come. And I got chastised. He said, what do you mean come? Lord, I need you to come. I'm already there. Oh, I couldn't do this. I do that to some people when they say, you know. Oh, what do you mean you're already here? Then why haven't I seen the witness? He said, because you just don't believe I'm with you. He says, I said I would be with you always. Ouch. So I got to change years of mindset of praying, Lord, come. Lord, I need you to come right now. God, come. Oh, God, I need you. Holy Ghost, come right now. Come right now. Come on. Come on, are you hearing me right? Holy Spirit, activate. Hallelujah, praise God. Amen. When we're the ones that need to activate the Holy Spirit. Come on, do you hear me? Hallelujah. God taught me a very simple, amen, yet a great lesson there. Don't ask me to come because I'm already with you. You got to believe that. So now I got to change my belief system. Oh, come on, somebody help me. When I believed that he was with me, but I really didn't believe that he was with me. Come on, do you hear me? I believed it with my intellect, but I didn't have it established in my heart. It's given me new courage. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? This is how Jesus, amen, even though when he went to the garden, what did he say? He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nobody wanted to experience in their flesh what Jesus had to, but nevertheless, thy will be done. Ah, you are with me. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. That's Old Testament stuff. That was before they even, amen, before Jesus even came and the Holy Spirit settled and living in us and giving us that access. Yet they believed it. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. This is why, amen, when you have that kind of mindset and you have that kind of courage, when somebody like that begins to lift up a praise, begins to cry, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The enemy's like, yep, I'm already defeated. There's no use. Come on, somebody. I know it sounds cliche, and it might sound fluffy, but it's real. It's true. And the Lord sent me this morning to remind you, hallelujah, that praise always changes the atmosphere, but the response from heaven can change the heart. You hear me? Because he said what? When the praises of his people are taking place, that he comes down and settles among those praises. Right? That means he sets up his throne. To me, that means he's getting ready to answer. He's at the place where if it's time, It's released. Are you hearing me? Praise God. Amen. It can change the atmosphere, but it can also change the heart. I want some folks to leave here today with new courage. Believing that the Lord is already with you. That's why he said, wherever your foot steps, wherever you place your foot, it's already yours. You just take it. Right? And if you don't believe it's yours, you're going to leave it. It's either believe it or leave it. It's one or the other. Right? Believe it or leave it. We got to know that it's ours. And so the Pharisees, they realized that they were defeated. The praise made them uncomfortable because it made them the minority. It made them know that it was over for them. But Jesus responded to them. Right? And he said, if they keep silent, the sons will shout.
Yep.
That's what he said. They said, reprimand your disciples. King James says, rebuke. Reprimand your disciples. Correct them. And Jesus said, if they keep silent, the stones will shout. Imagine having a response to that. So I've often thought, what if Jesus would have said, boys, ladies and gentlemen, shh. I think it would have done the Pharisees some good to hear the rock shout.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody. He certainly had the power, right, to do that. Praise God. Amen. But he said, if they keep silent, the stones will shout. Listen, something I really never paid attention to until today was that for most of the time of Jesus' ministry on earth, he discouraged people from publicly declaring him as Messiah. He always told people, don't tell anybody. Don't say anything. Of course, you know, they're just like you and me. They can't keep their mouth shut. There you go. Yeah. Whatever. Right? Let me tell my bestie. Let me tell you. And then your bestie's going to tell their bestie. And their bestie thinks they got somebody they can trust. And so they're going to tell that person they can trust. And then it just goes on down the line. By the time you got a dozen people that aren't trustworthy. Come on. Beginning with the first one. And the last one is untrustworthy. Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
That's true. It's true. Can I get an amen? You know it's like we've all been one of the 12. The first and the middle and the last. Come on. At least the last one. I guess the last one if they didn't tell nobody, but they listened. Anyhow. He discouraged people from declaring that he was the Messiah. But here he's declaring it. Here he's telling them, no. They can't keep quiet.
Come on.
If they keep silent, then the sons are going to cry out. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He knew it wasn't inaugurating him as king, but it was establishing him as the answer.
Come on.
It wasn't going to be that momentary remedy. They weren't going to get out of the situation under the Roman tyranny at that moment. But he was going to be the answer. Amen. For every problem and situation and everything that had happened to them all down through the generations. He was going to be the deliverer, the remedy for all that kept man from God. Now they were going to be able to get to God. And God was going to be praised even if his creation had to do it. A stone was, amen, a natural creation. A stone was something that was formed in the ground, out of the earth. Amen, that's why we're called stones and not bricks. A brick is man-made and they all look alike. But stones are all different. Stones, amen, the effects of the water and years, amen, of different things, amen. Amen, shapes the stones and they all look different, but they're still all stones. Amen, he made us lively stones is what the Bible says. Him being the chief cornerstone. Are you hearing me? So he said, if amen, God's going to get praise even if his creation has to do it. And you say, what do you mean creation? The Bible speaks all throughout about creation giving God praise. The wind and the trees. Listen, 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 Linda. Linda's here again today. Thank you, Linda. Amen. That sounds like a talk show or what is it? A game show. Thank you, Linda. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sorry if I embarrass you doing that. I'll do my best not to do that anymore. Amen. But I can promise you. Hallelujah. It's too convenient. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But listen, understand, praise God, that God, amen, how do we know what really was? Listen, I said it the other night in Bible study, and I don't want to get too far off on that. Amen. Praise God. But isn't it interesting that Eve was not taken aback that the serpent was talking? First of all, she wasn't scared of it. Second of all, she didn't say, oh, he's talking. I don't know. I'm not saying that animals talked or whatever, but I just know that she was not taken back by it. So my point is that God, amen, now he can make this praise, but that's not his creation. That's man-made. But I believe that the wind could speak. I believe that the trees, if needed to, amen, could offer up praise. And I believe they do, amen, when it all happens. But you know what I'm saying? Praise God. But listen, I've never known a stone in the earth, amen, to get delivered, to get set free, to get saved, amen, to need healing, to need redemption. Praise God. But me, I'm a mess. Hallelujah. I needed Jesus to save me, heal me, deliver me, set me free, set my foot on a solid rock. Are you hearing me? So as long as we are present, there shouldn't be a need for the trees and the rocks. Amen. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Or even the animals. Amen. To give him praise. But listen, nothing was going to, why was God going to get the praise? Even if his creation would have to do it in that moment. Because nothing was going to change the plan of God. It was already established. Victory and breakthrough and salvation, redemption, restoration, bringing fellowship back to man to with God was already established. And there wasn't anything that the Pharisees or hell or any other scholar or theologian or scientist of the time could do about it. And can I tell you that because of the covenant, I've been looking into covenant a little bit more here lately too, amen, trying to get a better, amen, understanding, amen, a better depth of that covenant and just what it is. Hallelujah. But listen, listen to me. Amen. The spirits, amen, on the other side of covenant, that legal system that's in the universe, is not under covenant of grace. We are. This is why we have to fight, amen, the way that we do. We have to fight against principalities that are seated in high places because they're not under covenant. But because we're under covenant, hallelujah, we have a favor and a mercy and authority and power of attorney in the name of Jesus. And so listen, when we understand, hallelujah, that covenant, you got to realize that no matter if you are fixed and you are truly, amen, in covenant with God, hallelujah, not talking about, amen, salvation. I'm talking about going beyond salvation and in covenant with Him. Everything that you experience, victory, breakthrough, deliverance, salvation is already part of the plan. He is not, if He's going to be with you, He's not going to ever leave you. And if He's ever going to leave you, then He's never going to forsake you. And if He's never going to forsake you, you're always going to come out on top. It may not feel like the top, but it will be according to His will. Hallelujah. This is why, amen, a praise from someone who understands God in that way lets the enemy know, I remind him he is already defeated.
Amen. Amen.
But the son stayed silent. Why? Because the whole multitude of disciples rejoice. The whole multitude. Think about something. I got to thinking about those, that multitude of disciples that were there. How many of those, it could have been easy to just follow Jesus. Right? Everybody had life. Everybody had faiths. So I got to thinking about those people that were praising. They had trials and problems. They weren't exempt from troubles, tribulations. Some probably had a sick spouse at home or even a sick child. Some of them probably had a son or daughter at home that was struggling and suffering with the torment of demons. Some of them were probably struggling with financial difficulties. Some of them probably had sickness themselves, yet they still praised God. So they weren't any different than you or I. We all have stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, I got stuff. Amen, I got stuff. We all got stuff. Amen? Everybody in here is struggling with something. Many more than one, some on different levels, different dimensions, but they still praised God. But something in my point that God spoke to me today, and they were loud. See, loud doesn't establish victory. I know we got that mindset in the Pentecostal and the charismatic, because, you know, if the music's going and everybody, we say, shout, and my shout's like, right? It pumps up the adrenaline. It works the emotions. It's a God thing. But it's also something that can play on the other side as well. So loud doesn't establish victory, but it reveals there's some emotion attached to what you're saying. We touched a little bit on this in our Bible study on Thursday night. See, when you really have a belief system, like I talked about, like, I really believe the Lord is with me always, there's going to be some emotion attached to that. When somebody tries to tell me he ain't with me, I'll be like. Or when the enemy comes and tells me that what I'm going through right now, it's going to take me out, and I begin to imagine that. But then all of a sudden, I remember how the Lord has always been with me. And how he brought me through the fire. And he taken me out of the flood. And he kept me, amen, through the troubled waters. Then it serves up an emotion. And now I've got an emotion attached to it. I believe that's why so many people come on Sunday mornings and they get caught up in the moment when the preacher's preaching and they really do believe what he says, but maybe it's not their belief system. So they have no emotion attached to it. They get caught up in the emotion and the goosebumps in the congregation, but when they go home and all hell releases on them, there's no emotion attached to that because their belief system isn't really connected to that. It is for them or in them or with them. So they let the emotions go on the other side. Amen. But when you've got an emotional attachment, hallelujah, to your praise, somebody better help me. Amen. It might begin to get loud when you begin to think about how. And the Bible says, it says they begin to remember. You say, give me Bible. I'm glad you did. Because John says it too. They begin to remember all of the works that they had seen Jesus do. And this calls somebody, help me. And this calls their belief system in the fact that he was going to set up a kingdom to become even greater. And so the praise got louder and louder and louder. They remember being there when Lazarus came out of the grave, when Jesus wept and he looked up and said, God, I give you thanks for what you're going to do. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the grave, still wrapped in the grave clothes. And then he said, loose him and let him go. And it came off. And Lazarus was a living, breathing testimony of the resurrection power of Jesus. Had some emotion attached to it. They had established a belief system. If he did that, he's going to do this. Somebody help me. Hallelujah. So I come to tell you this morning, sometimes volume matters. I don't believe that it establishes and produces victory. It doesn't always matter. But sometimes it does. That word loud in the Hebrew, he says, I just heard somebody say, oh, God knows my heart, and I'm sorry. I am too. But when you've been through hell, and you've been through darkness and trial and tribulation, to where it looked like there was no way out, when you have been so down, depressed, oppressed, oh God, somebody help me, hallelujah, addicted to the flesh, amen, addicted to yourself, addicted to what makes you happy, hallelujah, but God comes down, amen, and he raises you up and brings you out, hallelujah, amen, and you get in that moment, oh, somebody help me, that backward, that shy, listen to me. I told you before, God corrected me on that years ago. I used to use my shyness and my introvertedness as a justification for not being completely obedient until the Lord spoke to me one day. And he said, that's pride. And I said, no, it's not. And that answer was prideful. Hallelujah. Telling him, no, it's not. He said, that's pride. Because when you're shy, you're worried about what somebody else thinks. You're worried about and you feel less than and intimidated. And that's pride. Well, that helped me get delivered really quick. Took me a while. And sometimes I still want to just draw back. There's times when I can just see myself. Just let me peek back here. Let me just curl up and be all right here. And let everybody else. I still don't like being out in front of people. I still don't like having to get up and talk in front of people. I still don't like having to do those things. But listen, when I think about all that he's done for me, when I remember we preached about and remembered a few weeks ago, when I remember, I put some action to it. slum. I just pronounced slum. Means to be high, to rise or raise. Also in the Hebrew, there's the word gadol. Means to make large in body, mind, estate, or honor. Now that'll preach a lot. So it's one thing to have a praise, but when it gets loud, so you're going to raise your voice, right?
Yep.
That room. You're going to raise the room.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right? Your voice gets louder. But now what you're doing, the louder you get, you're making him larger and greater and bigger. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. In body, mind, estate, or honor. You're making his honor. This is why the devil, when we give a loud praise, sometimes volume matters. You know what? Hallelujah. Again, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you. Hallelujah. And that's okay. I'm not saying that that's not praise. I'm not saying it's not there. But listen, when I'm facing, hallelujah, a difficult situation and I am spent, hallelujah, that's not going to get it. Hallelujah. I'm going to begin to lift up that praise and raise that volume. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get louder. The louder I get, the more honor he's getting. And the larger the room gets and makes more room for him. And that reminds the enemy, you are defeated. You have no right here. You have rights on the other side of covenant. You don't have rights on the inside of covenant. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Do you understand me today? Sometimes volume matters. You look at the scriptures and see how they commend us to praise with a loud voice. To praise him on the loud cymbals. So we see sometimes volume does matter. That's why Jesus said, if these stay silent, the stones will begin to shout. So that meant they were going to get as loud as the multitude. Are you hearing me? I'm going to challenge some people in here today. I'm about to bring this to a close. Touch your neighbor again and say, sometimes volume matters. See, it lets the enemy know we believe we have victory. It reminds him that he is defeated. It's not a religious thing. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not a denominational thing. It's a God thing. So shouting, giving praise with a loud voice is a God thing. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not, amen, it's not a religious thing. Come on, hallelujah. Praise God. But listen, sometimes you just got to get loud.
Amen.
Oh, that's just not my character. That's not my personality. See, that's your problem. Because you're supposed to be a spirit now. Born again.
Yep.
You say, well, I believe that. Well, funny, the Bible says we walk in the Spirit, we talk in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit. Come on. You're now a spiritual being. You might be shy in the flesh, and it might not be your personality to be loud and obnoxious in the flesh, but when your spirit, who has been redeemed, somebody help me, it's a different story. It don't carry over. Listen to me. Do you understand? And it might make you feel uncomfortable, but if it makes you uncomfortable, how do you think it makes the enemy feel when you do it yourself? Well, come on, somebody. If getting loud is not your style, and it makes you uncomfortable, and you think everybody's going to be watching, what do you think the enemy, amen, how he gets uncomfortable when he sees somebody, hallelujah, begin to break out with a loud shout. I'm trying anything today or hype anything up. I'm trying to tell you what the Lord spoke to me. Hallelujah. That they shouted with a loud voice. And he said, if they stop, the rocks will shout. The stones will shout. Spoke to me plain as day this morning and said, sometimes volume matters. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Right? We get that.
Oh yeah.
But sometimes it requires a loud praise.
Yeah.
That's why folks get offended when people get loud in worship. I get it. You're just not used to it. And I don't want to sound religious because it's going to sound really religious. But you know it's a truth, right? So like if it's a... So why can you jump on and shout like at a sports event or something, but you can't? You say, I can't. It's not my character to do it in the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you why? Because you got more emotion attached to that sports event than you do to what Jesus. I'm telling you, it's all about emotion. Come on, let's see your belief system. Hallelujah. When your team's got the ball, you're like, yes, yes, yes. Amen. But the Lord says, sometimes volume matters, and I need you to get a loud shout to let the enemy know that he's already defeated. That's just not my style. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Because you have listened. Go ahead and do it about 5, 6, 7, 8 times. You're going to get your adrenaline, whatever it is, dopamine, whatever it is. I'm not a scientist, a medical. Whatever it gets that triggers that, you're going to get that feeling. You're going to get that euphoric feeling. Hallelujah. And the next time, hallelujah, that you feel that, you're going to be like, oh, wait a minute. I know what that feels like. Come on, somebody, help me. You say, oh, no, that's a bunch of new age stuff. No, that's how God created you and I. We were created with that. That's why. That's when our emotions matter. That's when we use them. Ain't not the way that God designed. Hallelujah. I'm trying to finish. I'm trying to help you. Remember, you are seen, you are heard, you are remembered, you are protected.
Yep.
Now shout like you know it. Shout like you believe it.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody, shout like you believe it. If you say, I'm not my belief system in prayer yet, then I sword help down my unbelief. Lord, grow my faith that I may believe and that I may see. Come on, I'm being honest. It's that simple. So as they get ready to come to the music, I don't know who's in here today that might be weighing the decision as to whether or not you want to give your life to Jesus. But I want to encourage you to make that decision. That choice to say yes to the Prince of Peace, to the Deliverer, to the Healer. To say yes to Him. I can 100% unequivocally affirm before you ever make the decision and say that it'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. So as you stand with me across the sanctuary today, as there might be some contemplating and making that decision whether to say yes to the Spirit or not. If you're in here today and you want to let the enemy know that he's defeated, I want you to step out of your seat and come. We're going to pray with you.